We're going to talk about the King of Tyre. I've been sitting on this revelation 22 years, been carrying this particular revelation. As you know, we've been in the series of the Mount Hebron inheritance. We trace the conception of that mountain with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their wives being buried, that the mantle and the anointing, the promises of generational inheritance, their DNA was all buried into that mountain. Caleb inherited that mountain after a 45-year stand of faith. Hallelujah. Ended up giving it to the priesthood. David was crowned king in that mountain first and multiplied him from 600 men to 348,000 in 3 days. Say 3 days. God knows how to multiply. God has not lost his touch. As soon as we learn to get it right, you're going to see multiplication. When I say as soon as we are learning to get it right, God is multiplying right now. So we're going to talk about the King of Tyre. Devil definitely doesn't want anybody to know about this. Hallelujah. But I'm going to expose it. I'm going to preach it. So we're going to take it from Solomon. A couple weeks ago, we spoke about the wealth of David and it was transferred to Solomon, how it funded that priesthood, that king priest government that was operating with and by Solomon. And we looked at some of the magnitude of that day in that operation. Well, Solomon fell. And during Solomon's fall, and I'm going to say this, if you're listening to this by MP3 or on the internet, please download the notes because I'm going to pass through things. I'm not going to just preach the whole thing. You'll see them on the notes, though. I've outlined it all. I'm just going to review a minute. The Illinois Society of Architects in 1925 did a study of Solomon's wealth. And they came out with a pretty astounding figure. They said during his 40-year reign that his wealth, accumulated wealth, and their wealth that went into that temple was in the vicinity. Are you ready for this figure? Of $87 billion. And that was 1925. And when they transferred the wealth of Solomon's day to modern day, it was $87 billion. It's because of inflation. Are you ready for this number? $174 billion in our day. That was the kind of wealth that ran through Solomon's day. And there was a prophecy in Haggai. It says, once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry lands, and the wealth of the nations will come into my house. And he goes, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, and the glory of the latter day house will be greater than the former. Well, we know that they restored the temple under Zerubbabel and Joshua, but that temple restoration never exceeded. In fact, the men that had saw it before that went under 70 years of captivity, they wept because they saw what it was forming. It never came to its former state. So that prophecy was talking about another tabernacle, another day. Amen. It didn't happen in the early church, but it is going to happen for the latter day church. There is a wealth transference. I'm going to show you that prophetically. I'm going to show you a wealth transference. There is a wealth transference that's going to happen corporately in the body of Christ at large before the return of the Lord. And it's going to finance his government. It's going to finance the greatest revival known to man. Before we're lifted out of here, two major things are going to happen. Wealth and power. Great power is going to be restored to the church. Great power, the kind of power that will shake nations. These men have turned the world upside down, that kind of power. And great wealth is going to be given to God's people again, hallelujah. And it's the restoration of Solomon's wealth is what we're looking for, hallelujah. Amen? So when Solomon fell for 400 years, his temple and Jerusalem was invaded 7 different times, international plunderings by kings that came in and plundered the tabernacle, plundered the temple, and plundered Jerusalem, and they still couldn't get it all because there was so much there. Then when Nebuchadnezzar came, he took the rest of it, remember, and he took it to Babylon with him, and it said he spoke of David and Solomon's wealth he took with them. They couldn't get it all in 7 plunderings. How'd you like to have that kind of wealth? You get robbed 7 times and there's still more than enough. Now, I trace out those plunderings, but I'm not going to talk about them today. If you want to know about them, just download the notes. They're all there. All the kings, I listed all out for you. Now, I want you to turn your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 26, and we're going to begin to look at what I would call the King of Tyre. Tyre, what is Tyre? What's the important So that, what does it have to do with us? What does it have to do with our day? It'd be a lot. One of the greatest prophecies of wealth transference, one of the most misunderstood prophecies of wealth transference, resides in the scriptures concerning Tyre. So we're going to look at Tyre. We're going to identify what Tyre is, what Tyre has to do in this day and hour. Hallelujah. Find out who's the king. You know how I got into this? Spirit of the Lord, he spoke to me one day. He said, why would the devil, in all his pomp and glory, call himself the king of a city they spread fishnets upon when he boasts to be the god of this world system? I said, I don't know, Lord, why? That began to launch me into this study of the king of Tyre. King of Tyre, or Tyre itself, is found in Ezekiel 26, 27, 28, and Isaiah 23. The host, or the bulk of what Tyre is found in those four chapters. Ezekiel 26, 27, 28, and Isaiah 23. So we're going to look first at Ezekiel 26, then we're going to look at the king of Tyre. Amen? All right. Ezekiel 26, verse 2. Son of man, because Tyrus, speaking of Tyre, has set against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, that was the gates of the people, and she is turned unto me, and I shall be replenished, and she is now laid waste. So here Tyrus is boasting about the fact that Jerusalem's gates were broken. Jerusalem under Solomon was a merchandising mart of the world. Solomon made leagues with all the kings. They all came to see him. He said all the kings of the earth came to hear Solomon's wisdom and to see what he did and to behold the glory and to see the fame and the prosperity. And what happened? We looked at this a couple weeks ago with Queen of Sheba. You remember when she came, there was no spirit left in her. She was converted right there because Solomon prayed. If they come and pray in this temple, if the stranger prays in this temple, hear their prayer, that they may know you're the true and the living God. All the kings of the earth, it's important to know why Jerusalem was broken in the first place. Jerusalem was broken in the first place because nobody had ever done what David and Solomon did. There was very wealthy covenant men in the earth, but nobody had taken that wealth to the level David and Solomon did. And when Solomon built that temple and built that tabernacle, and they funded that 24-hour priesthood, and the glory of God came down. The Shekinah glory came. Kings and queens would come visit, and they would see the glory of God. They'd feel the glory of God. Nobody saw wealth and power like that come together. It wasn't just wealth. It was God's wealth, and His glory came over it. And the Queen of Sheba said she dropped a $60 million offering, which her heart's flooded, and there's no spirit left in her. She said, as I've seen your wisdom and the prosperity and the ministry and the apparel of your priesthood and your ascent by which you went up into the presence of God, there's no spirit left in me. And God told me, he said, that happened to all the kings of the earth. This didn't happen to her. In fact, if you look at the First Kings chapter 10, it said all the kings of the earth came to hear Solomon's wisdom. Another place said all the peoples of the earth. There was mass conversion to God. That's in the notes, by the way. You can see all those scriptures. There was a mass evangelism that was taking place with wisdom and glory and power and prosperity, all conglomerated into a city of habitation, and the whole world was coming to see it. The whole world was coming to experience it. And nobody ever done anything like that before. Because of it, the enemy immediately set up a plan to take that down. He understood that there needed to be a conglomeration of the world's wealth. Because see, Solomon did it. He conglomerated all the world's wealth into a trading market. And they brought it all to him. He was the original CEO of the New York Stock Exchange. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Well, the devil saw that. See, the devil never does anything new. He doesn't have a kind of genius. He's always counterfeiting what God does. He takes what God does and he perverts it, and then he reestablishes it and says, I'm the king of it. So here Tyre is boasting The Jerusalem's gates were broken. Solomon's gates were broken. 7 plunderings over 400 years. All that wealth went somewhere. You have to understand something about generational wealth. I'm going to show you how God protected David's wealth for 400 years. I'm going to show you how the children of Israel were serving in Babylon and their wealth was sitting under Babylon. While they were serving in captivity, God had all their wealth right up under Babylon. I'm going to show it to you. God never loses anything. Just because it's under the sinner, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. God doesn't lose anything. God's just waiting for his people to get it right. To get it his way. He's waiting for his people to understand how he does it. His ways. And just because the sinner's in control of it, and wickedness is in control, it doesn't mean God can't shift it back when he wants to. He watches over. And see, because this was not just Solomon's wealth, it was David's wealth. It wasn't just David's wealth. It went all the way back to Abraham being seated in that mount. This was the inheritance of Mount Hebron. So all of a sudden, all this wealth starts flooding into Tyre. Aha! The gates of Jerusalem are broken. Now I'm being replenished. So Tyre becomes what's called a merchandising mart of the nations. Let's look at a few scriptures to see what Tyre was. Son of man, because Tyre is set against Jerusalem, aha, she's broken that was the gates of the people, Ezekiel 26:2. She's turned unto me and I shall be replenished. She is laid waste. I'm replenished. She's laid waste. Aha. Not yours anymore, it's mine. God said, because you're boasting in your pride. Boy, he spends all of chapter 26 and all of chapter 27 pronouncing a judgment against Tyre. He sends half the chapter of Isaiah 23 pronouncing a judgment against Tyre. Therefore, saith the Lord God, behold, verse 3, I am against thee, O Tyre. I'll cause many nations to come up against thee. As the sea causeth waves to come up, and they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers, and I will scrape her dust from her. Ooh, God started talking about you like that. Thank God he didn't talk about us like that. We on the good side. It shall be a place of the spreading of the nets in the midst of the sea. See that? The spreading of the nets. Spreading of the nets. Look down at verse 14. And I will make thee like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more. Go over to Ezekiel 27. Let me explain to you what Tyre is. Look at Ezekiel 27, verse 2. Now, son of man, take a lamentation for Tyre. And I say unto Tyre, thou art situated at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the peoples. Major commerce. This was the major commerce center of the world. Nothing got done unless it went through the Mediterranean Sea. All that was the commerce center of the world. Rome, Nile, all and any trafficking and trading, anything that happened, happened there. That was the center of all commerce. Look where Tyre is set. He said, you're seated at the entry of the seas. It became a merchandising mart of the nations. In fact, it says in Ezekiel 27, it says, sent out there are situated at the entry of the sea, which are a merchant of the people. A Living Bible says this, Ezekiel 27:3, you are a merchant center of the world. There was no New York Stock Exchange back then. There was no NASDAQ back then. It all happened right there. Tyre, Jerusalem was over here. When the gates of Jerusalem broke, 400 years that wealth was circulated. It all got conglomerated into Tyre. Go to Isaiah 23 really quick. You need to know what Tyre is before you know who controls it. Now, it was a natural stronghold back then, but it got leveled, sure enough, but it's still in existence today. It's a spiritual stronghold, and I'm going to prove all that to you. Hallelujah. Now remember, all this wealth was God's wealth. He said, aha, the gates of Jerusalem are broken. Now I'm being replenished. All that wealth ended up funneling into Tyre. So again, the devil never creates anything. He always steals. And then he creates a counterfeit. He didn't even create the original merchandising mart of the nation. Solomon did. He saw what Solomon did when he controlled the course of money and finances with the glory of God. He saw what happened. Kings, queens, and peoples of the earth were all being converted to God. It's one of the greatest displays of evangelism ever. And not just for God's people. The world that did not have a covenant with God were being converted to Jehovah God. It was very powerful. You get the notes, you'll see those scriptures. All the people of the earth came. All the kings of the earth came. 1 Kings 10, 23, and 24, all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom. 2 Chronicles 9, 23, and all the kings of the earth. Oh, I love this. 2 Chronicles 9, 22, and the king Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. It'd take a lot to surpass the kings of the earth in our day. Most of the kings of the earth in our day are very demonically inspired. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God put in his heart. And what happened with the Queen of Sheba was happening to all of them. And that's important. That's why the enemy sought to take it down. That's why he moved from Jerusalem to Tyre. And he called Tyre to become a merchandising mart of the nations. Now let's see what Tyre has to say. Isaiah 23, verse 3, King James. 23 and 3. Ready for this? She is a mart of nations. Living Bible, merchandising mart of the world. New International, marketplace of the nations. Revived Standard, merchant of the nations. Isaiah 23, look at verse 1. The burden of Tyre, how you ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there's no house nor entering in. Be still, you inhabitants of the island, whom the merchants of Sidon who pass over the sea, for the great waters of the sea of Sidon, the harvest of the river is her revenue. She's the mart of the nations. See, she's getting revenue from the entire world. It's very important you understand this. I'm spending time building what Tyre is. Look at verse 8. Who had taken this counsel against Tyre? Against the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth. The Lord of hosts has purposed to stain the pride of all glory, to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. They all conglomerated into this city. Verse 11, he stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord has given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. You see that? So, God is pronouncing judgment against Tyre. Now, let's look at who the king of Tyre is. Now, this is fascinating. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 28. Let's look at who's in control of Tyre. This is the one that got me when the Lord said, why would the devil, with all his pomp and glory, call himself the king of a city they spread fishnets upon when he boasts to be the god of this world system? He wasn't just calling himself king of that little island of Tyre. He was calling himself king of the global wealth. He's calling himself king, and he, from that day, set up a stronghold, and believe it or not, it's still in existence this day. It doesn't reside there location-wise. It's a spiritual stronghold now. And I'm going to show you where it shifted. I'm going to show you he was king of it. Very proud to be king of it. You know, he boasts to be the god of the world system, but he's calling himself king of this place now. Because he stole Solomon's operation, moved it up north, and said, now I'm king. All this belongs to me. This is all mine. He stole it from Solomon, which was David's. And God said, it's only yours for a little while. So I'm going to prepare some kings that are going to take you down. And I'm going to move your wealth from Tyre to Babylon. We'll get into that in a minute. Let's look at the king. I'm going to show you how the wealth moves. You got to understand how wealth moves. God watches over generational wealth. Why? Because when he planted it, it's his. When he birthed it, it's his. So you have to understand this all started back during the days of Abraham when the original covenant was established. See, all this is his stuff. When he gave it to David, it's his. Even though Solomon lost it, it's still David's. You have to understand that. I'm going to show you how God watches over it. I'm just not going to be able to show it all to you today. Ezekiel 28. So Tyre is like the New York Stock Exchange, but it's a global exchange of goods and services being controlled by a demonic principality, being controlled by the devil himself. Never in the world did he ever do this until now, because he saw what Solomon did. Okay, Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Say to him, thus saith the Lord. Now tell me who this sounds like. Thou sealest up the sum. You're full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now this, he's speaking to him before, what he looked like before his fall. When he was of the order of the archangels with Gabriel and Michael, Lucifer was there. He was the worship leader of heaven. He says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. This king is not a normal king. This one's been in Eden. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. Wow! God clothed him. He was a magnificent creation of God before his fall. The workmanship of thy tablets and thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day thou was created. We know he was the worship leader and he led the worship. See where he missed it? He wanted that. Because he led all the corporate heaven in worship, see. He was the leader. He saw how all of heaven worshiped God and he wanted that for himself. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He was of the order of cherub. Just to throw out something out here, there are two cherubs that guarded the tree of life. There's a reason God put two cherubs in the order of cherubs. There's an order of angelic authority in heaven. He put two cherubs at the tree of life because man had already eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The next place was the devil was going to have him come eat of the tree of life. But when you eat of the tree of life in a fallen state, it seals you for all eternity. So God says, don't let them eat of the tree of life. And have two cherubs with flaming swords on both sides. Why two cherubs? Because this was the one leading man to the next level. And he had to put two of them of his order there to keep him from moving man to the next level. The anointed cherub that covereth had to put two of them there so man would not have his existence ordered in eternal damnation because he is already dead in his spirit. That's what the devil wanted to do. I actually believe that's what he did with the original fallen angels. Took them the same route. God said, nope, I'm not going to let you do that. Because he sealed their fate. You know, all the demons used to be angels. You do understand that. Third fell. The tail drew a third of the stars. Why does the devil have to be loosed again at the end of the 1,000 years under the millennial reign? You know he's going to get loosed. God's going to chain him up for 1,000 years, going to loose him at the end of the millennial reign while Christ and his bride are in the garden for 1,000 years because God's going to get his way. I got to say it because it's so good. See, God wanted Adam and Eve to live out the full day. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. When Adam fell, his body fell short of the day. He died at 935 years old. His body died the day he committed the sin, but his body lived on for 935 years of spiritual death, but he didn't live out the day with his bride, so God's always about his original purpose. So he's got another bride with the last Adam. This last Adam is going to rule and reign with 1,000 years with the final bride, which is us. We're the bride. We're going to live out a whole 1,000 years with him in the millennial reign. But at the end of the millennial reign, the devil's going to get turned loose again. to deceive the nation. But this time, the last Adam is going to do what the first Adam should have when he gets loosed into the garden. While the last Adam is ruling and reigning with his bride, he's going to give him the boot and kick him out. That's why he's got to get turned loose again. So God gets the opportunity to give him a boot. That's good stuff right there. Going to boot him right out of the garden. Said, nope, not this time, sir. That's the only reason God's turning him loose. So his son gets to give him a boot. That's why God's going to turn him loose. Anyway. Pretty good. I don't know how I got into that. Verse 14, shouldn't have jumped off in there. You're the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. That was upon the holy mountain of God. This is not a normal king. This is the devil. Thou art anointed cherub that covered. This, he's actually describing him in pre-fall. You're the anointed cherub that covered. I set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in thy ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in thee. You know, the devil didn't wake up one day and find iniquity. He had the same choice you had. He went and ate from that tree when God told him not to. My angels don't have a choice. Of course they have a choice. How do you think they became demons? They did that by choice. They follow the leader. They have a will. You were perfect in thy ways so the day thou was created. Verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, he filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane. This was his judgment. Out of the mountain of God. He was cast out of the mountain of God. He was cast down into the second heaven. That's where he rules right now. The prince of the power of the air. We wrestle not against principalities and powers. Rulers of darkness in heavenly places. They don't get up to the third heaven, heavenly places. They are in the second heaven, heavenly places. Midway through the 7-year tribulation, God's going to come as part of his judgment to take back over the world. He's going to empty the second heaven. All the principalities and demonic principalities and powers that are ruling in the second heaven are going to be cast down in the earth. Said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down unto you. You don't want to be living on the earth in that final 3.5 years. All the principalities that were confined to the second heaven were ruling. The devil himself, all. That is a judgment. God's going to empty it all out and cast it all down into the earth. The world's going to get its way. They're going to have their master for 3.5 years. They're going to have utter destruction. He will destroy the world in 3.5 years. All those powers and principalities unleashed. I don't even know. I mean, maybe people see them. Maybe that's what Hollywood's trying to do. Get everybody prepared with that alien stuff. Because that's what they look like. I don't know if they're going to manifest like that or not. I don't know if you're going to be able to see them when they're cast down the earth. You're going to feel them. You're going to see their destruction. Because God, the Holy Spirit, him that restraineth is going to be lifted off. And when him that restraineth is lifted, there's going to be two witnesses. Power witnesses. They are going to be eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus. And they are given power. They're going to be given the mantle of Elijah. And they're going to give the mantle of Moses. They're going to be able to call fire down from heaven, plagues, turn waters into blood. They are going to withstand the powers of the earth for 3.5 years. Because the powers of the earth, when they're laying dead in the streets of Jerusalem, they're going to be looking at it. They're going to start rejoicing, send gifts to one another. Finally got rid of these guys. And they ordered them to be laid in that street for 3.5 days. And God said, you see all the technology, the whole world's going to be watching them with little iPhones. And God's going to watch them. The whole world's going to watch them ascend. Double portion of Christ. That's in a series called Corporate Eyewitness. It's very powerful. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You're perfect in all your ways. The multitude of thy merchandise filled thee. Verse 16. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Do you see that? God's pronouncing judgment against the king of Tyre himself. Do you know that Tyre itself was taken down? But the king of Tyre still rules through a spiritual stronghold. Do you remember the Lord during his 40-day temptation? You remember what happened? He took him I'm going to read this to you. Just food for thought. Luke chapter 4. You want to go look at this? Luke 4 chapter 5. That's why I'm telling you, you want to get these notes. You want to visit the website this week. You want to download these notes on the King of Tyre because they're full. You need to understand this. We have a major inheritance concerning this. We have a major inheritance of a prophecy that's about to get fulfilled. I actually believe it's fulfillment. We're right on it. And I'm going to show you why, because there's a time frame in that prophecy. According to the days of one king, 70 years. I believe I know what that 70 years is, finally, after 22 years. It took me 22 years to figure out what 70 years was. Luke 4, verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain. Now, you know that's not a natural mountain. That's not like K2 or Mount Everest. It's a spiritual mountain he took him to. Now, watch the dynamic of this spiritual mountain. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Whatever mountain he put him on, he was able to see all the kingdoms of the world. Now, what he was doing is boasting, says, I own all these. These are all mine. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. So he's saying, whatever kingdoms he's showing, he's telling him, I'll give you power. What rules kingdoms? Before military rules kingdoms, money rules before military. You need to understand that. Because the military costs money to fund an army. All this power I will give thee. And look at this. And say, and the glory. Now, he ain't got no glory. Like glory that comes from God. So what's the glory of a nation? It's wealth. It's riches. That's what he's given him. I'm going to give you the power and the glory of these nations. I will give this to you. See, he knew that he was the heir of God. The devil was trying to sidestep it. He's trying to intercept. He knew that God was about to make Christ his heir. Not one time did the Lord ever argue with him about his ownership of these things. He said, all these things I'm going to give you. If you will do one thing, bow down and worship me. If you will worship me instead of the Father, I'll be the Father. You'll be my son, and I'll give it to you. You don't have to go through all this. He was trying to circumvent the final heir's calling. And he took him to a stronghold that controlled the world, the powers of the world, and the wealth of the world. This stronghold he took him to was Tyre. But it wasn't that Tyre you see on the map. It was a different Tyre. One that transcended to a spiritual stronghold, which I'll show you by scripture. The one he called himself a king of. Listen, if the devil's going to be the god of this world system, he's certainly not going to call him king of a city. That's a demotion. He doesn't do that. He's too proud to do that. He's exceedingly proud. If he's calling himself the king of a city, there's a purpose. I am king of the world and its money supplies. No longer is Solomon king. No longer is David king. I am king. And I own all the traffic of the earth now. It's all mine. He took him, the Lord himself, the heir of God. But see, he didn't understand the true mission of the Lord. God was going to give it back to him, but not here. He's telling the heir of God, all this stuff I'm going to give you, I'll give it all, the glory of it, the power of it. I mean, the Lord's in a 40-day fast here, see? Now, the Lord could have done this, but because he was substituting, he didn't say nothing. Just held his wisdom. But he could have just said, oh, by the way, God's not going to restore all this to me here while you're still the god of the world system and controlling people through the law of sin and death. But he is going to give me everything you just offered me. But the Father's going to reassign it to me in my ascension to the right hand of God. So get behind me, Satan. I shall worship the Lord my God only. That was the plan of the Father. See, God's always 100 steps ahead. The devil was competing for the earthly territory. God said, I'm going to give it all in the heaven. And then I'm going to take the weak things of the world, confound the wise, because I'm going to take just normal beings, average human beings, and I am going to give them access to inheritance I've already received. See how God's mind was much greater. But he still took him into a stronghold. And it's that stronghold I want to talk about. Amen? Okay, let's go back to Ezekiel a minute. But go back to chapter 26. I'm going to finish the pronouncement of judgments, the understanding how to meditate, Tyron. Let's go back to Ezekiel 26, and I'll close up. Ezekiel 26, let's look at the natural destruction of Tyre. Ezekiel 26, verse 7. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyre. He is prophesying this before it happens. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, with horses, with chariots, with horsemen and companies and much people. He shall slay thee with a sword, thy daughters. Verse 9. He shall set engines of war upon thy walls, and his axes he shall break down thy towers. By reason of the abundance of his horses, their dust shall cover thee. Thy walls shall shake at the noise of thy horsemen, and the wheels and the chariots. And he shall enter into his gates as men enter into the city. Verse 12, and they, because there's actually two kings that took Tyre down. Nebuchadnezzar leveled it, but Alexander finished it. Okay? And that's very important. Alexander came and finished. They say, they, talking about two kings. They shall make spoil of thy riches and make prey thy merchandise. So the king of Babylon comes and takes all Tyre's wealth. Whose wealth was Tyre's? Solomon's, which was David's, which was Mount Hebron, which was Abraham's, which was built all by covenant blessing. Amen? So, it says they will spoil your riches. We know history when Nebuchadnezzar invaded Tyre, he took all of her wealth. And where did he take it? To Babylon. Guess where he put it? In vault, right up underneath the city. Waiting for a day for another king to arise. King Cyrus, I will give you the treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret places. Now, here's the beautiful thing. I'll get into this next week. When Israel were in captivity for 70 years, remember that? Where were they at? Babylon. Where was their wealth? Right underneath them. While they were moaning and crying, God the whole time had the whole wealth of their nation sitting in vaults. Yeah, it went to Tyre first. Yeah, he took it. But it was sitting in vault right underneath Babylon. While they were serving in captivity. Is that awesome or what? Does God know how to protect and keep? We'll get into that. So, they shall make a spoil of thy riches, verse 12, and a prey of thy merchandise. They shall break down thy walls and destroy thy pleasant houses. They shall lay stones and timber and dust upon the midst of the water. Nebuchadnezzar and Alexander. Verse 17. They shall take up a lamentation for thee and say to thee, how thou art destroyed, that was inhabited of seafaring men, the renowned city, which was strong in the sea, and her inhabitants. Now go to chapter 27 and I'll close. Now the way you're going to meditate chapter 27, don't go read chapter 27 and think you're going to understand what it is until I tell you how to meditate it. Chapter 27 is going to be an allegory of a ship that's sailing out into great waters. He's likening Tyre to a ship. Look at it this way. It's like the oars were from Bashan. What does that mean? What's being traded in Tyre, certain woods were coming from Bashan. Linens from Egypt were thy sail. It's not a literal ship that's being sailed. He's likening it as an allegory of this ship that you're made up of all your ship and all of its decoration, external, internal, and all of the things that made the ship is sailing out in the midst of the sea. You're sailing into great waters. All the nations are trading and trafficking with you. You're made up of all these nations and all these parts, and you're going to sail in the midst of the sea, and I am going to destroy thee with an east wind in a moment of time. That's how you meditate, chapter 28. It's full of the judgments pronounced against Tyre. And I'm going to close with this, chapter 27. Take up, son of man, take up a lamentation, say unto Tyrus, O thou that were situated in the entry of the sea. Case in point, verse 5. Thou have made all thy shipboards of the fir trees of Shinear. They have taken cedars from Lebanon, oaks of Bashan. Verse 6. Asherites have made thy benches of ivory. Verse 7. Fine linen with the broidered work of Egypt. So all these parts of the ship is actually what's being traded in the city. See what he's talking about? That's how you meditate. It was an allegory. It's being sailed out in the midst of the sea. Watch what he says to him. Verse 26. The rowers have brought thee into great waters. The east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the sea. Thy riches, thy fares, thy merchandise, verse 7. Thy mariners, thy pilots, thy caulkers, the occupiers of thy merchandise, all the men of war that are in thee, and all the company which is in the midst of thee shall fall into the midst of the sea in the day of thy ruin. He's talking about all the people that are making Tyre what it is. Verse 32. And in their wailing they shall take up a lamentation for thee and lament over thee, saying, what city is like Tyre? Like the destroyed city in the midst of the sea. Now he's actually talking here about the future Tyre. When thy wares went forth, verse 33, thou fillest many people. Thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with a multitude of thy riches and thy merchandise. In the time when thou shalt be broken by the seas and the depths of the waters, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall. Next week, I'm going to show you the prophecy of when that's going to happen. There is going to be a transference again. He's going to shake the nations again. God's people are going to receive an inheritance before we're taken out of this world. And he is going to fund the last day revival, renewal, awakening, government like nothing you have ever seen on the earth. We are living in the greatest generation ever. God's people are going to receive power, and the wealth of this spiritual stronghold is going to give it up one more time. Not even the early church got that one. That was reserved for our day, and I'm going to show you that prophecy next Sunday. And I'm going to show you the temple waters that are going to invade that stronghold. Give the Lord glory. Hallelujah.